Well, let's pray. I just want to pray as we open the Word together this morning. And one of the things that I have done recently, just a practice that I have found really helpful is as I've been writing papers that are like so hard or preparing for messages in the midst of graduation ceremonies and so much going on, I've kind of just like gone to the Lord and said, God, would you just like, just give me like a passage that can just really be an anchor for this coming thing. And I love God's word because it'll happen. He answers, he responds when we in faith ask things like that. And so I just was led this week to a passage that ironically Paul quotes in Corinthians, but it comes from Jeremiah 9. And it starts in verse 23. And so I'm going to read it and pray over our time together. And this verse, this passage, I think is the grounding for what I want to pray over us this morning. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Father, we proclaim you holy, 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 as we just sang. We boast not in ourselves, but in you this morning. And in that, God, we ask that you would come, that we would feel your presence, not just through singing, not just through emotions, but through your word, through your people. By the power of your spirit, would you come and speak and have your way today on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. All right, our text for this morning is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20. We've actually been in a study of 1 Corinthians since the fall. And then when we hit 1 Corinthians 5 just a few months ago, we actually paused for an 8-week mini-series on sexuality. And many of you have shared with us just how helpful that series was. And 1 Corinthians 6, this specific passage, verses 12 through 20, it's a key passage when we are considering a biblical view of sexuality. And so we referenced it many times in that mini-series. And I actually taught on sexual immorality specifically during that series. And that's a key focus of this text. And if you missed it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that teaching for a more in-depth study of sexual immorality. But today, what I want to do is I want to focus on another key aspect of this passage, and that's the body. As we read together, I want you to consider what Paul is saying about the body. Maybe as I read or as you follow along, I want you to underline or circle all of the instances where the word body shows up. And so why don't we read together? You can turn 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 12 through 20, love for you to follow along. It's not going to be on the screen, so whether in your physical Bible or on an app, why don't you join with me? Why don't we stand together, actually? This is good for us to use our physical presence to be a part of the gathering here in this moment. Let's stand, and out of reverence for God's word, let's read it together. I'm reading from the NIV. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Why do our bodies matter? As I sat with my fellow graduates yesterday, yeah, thank you, you can take a seat. I wanted to tell, why do our bodies matter? You're gonna stand the whole teaching and see if you can. Now, why do our bodies matter? As I sat with my fellow graduates yesterday, waiting for my name to be called, and my term to be hooded, did you know this is a thing in graduate studies? The tassels don't matter anymore, you're hooded. And so you bring your hood up and you kneel down. It's kind of cool, actually. But as I sat there and I'm waiting for this honor and then to receive this nice leather diploma cover with nothing in it, because I told you I still have one more class, I found myself like emotional and I was reflecting, and I'm already a daydreamer. And so I just am sitting and my mind's wandering, and I just find myself, I'm starting to think about this morning. And I'm just kind of sitting there and I'm just praying, because whenever I teach, I just root myself in prayer the entire week, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. I'm just constantly like, God, I just want to communicate your word. I want what you want to say this morning. And I had already turned in a draft of my notes, but I was just continuing to ask God for clarity. And Dan Kimball, the vice president of mission and strategy for Western Seminary, he stood up to give the commencement address, and it was entitled Everyday Missionary. And as Dan was talking, I was struck by what he was saying and its relevance for things that I was considering for this morning. And I took that as like, this is from the Spirit of God. As followers of Jesus, he reminded us as graduates too, we must remember that we are everyday missionaries. Yet the longer that we follow Jesus, the easier it is to have fewer and fewer interactions with unbelievers. The verse that was read over us in our ceremony yesterday comes from 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Consider the phrase, everyone who asks. This clearly implies a level of interaction in which someone feels comfortable enough to ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, I doubt anyone has just approached you on the street and said, hey, excuse me, can you tell me the reason for the hope that you have in you? Has anyone experienced that? Just out of the blue, someone comes up to you. You have. That's incredible. I think we need to be attentive and we need to be embodied. Why do our bodies matter? Because we are the embodiment of Jesus to a lost and broken world. That's the point that this text was making in Peter, is that someone was embodied to another, and there was enough of a relationship that happened that caused this person to say and ask a question, what is going on inside of you to cause this hope that you have? We are the embodiment of Jesus to a world that desperately needs him. You are, each one of us in this room. Paul, in his follow-up letter to this first one that we're studying, says this: we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Saint Teresa of Avila says, quote, Christ has no body on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion for the world is to look out. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good, and yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. Now, I shouldn't add on to St. Teresa of Avila, but I have taken the liberty to do that this morning. I would add that we be the ears of Christ to hear the pain and confusion and concerns and the questions that people have. And I pray that we would have mouths that are, quote, as it says in Colossians 4, verse 6, always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. Our bodies matter because in our text today, as Paul says, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is working through us to reconcile the lost to the Father. That's the plan. We are the embodiment. The Holy Spirit is the power that fuels our ability to participate in this incredible work. You see, Jesus tells his disciples before he ascends back to the Father, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is being fulfilled now in us. The gospel has gone far further than any of these 11 men, as they stood there hearing this, could have imagined. Our bodies matter because we are the embodiment of Jesus to a lost and broken world. And if we abuse our bodies, or we unite them with things not of the kingdom of God, we hinder that power within us. On Friday night, Western Seminary had a really beautiful reception that was informal. They served food and had, of course, the Pips donut truck there, which is just incredible. The kingdom of heaven descended upon Western Seminary, and my daughters were so stoked. They're like, free donuts? You know, can you graduate, you know, next week too? And it was a really sweet time just to interact with some professors and classmates. The whole family came, the sun was out. And there was a short program that they did, and they had a graduate from each of the graduate programs that were nominated by their peers to speak and to share about the impact of their time at Western. And this young man from the Master's in Counseling program got up. His name is Jacob Stark. And as he got up, you could tell, like, he was pretty nervous. He kind of was a little shaky as he got up to the podium, and he hardly made eye contact. And after introducing himself, he looked down at his notes, and he literally said, "I will now read my speech to you." He wasn't polished, and he rarely in this talk looked up from his notes. At times, he stumbled over his own words, but his story was so striking. He was a recovering drug addict who said that when he found, quote, King Jesus, it changed everything. Through the power of the Spirit, he turned his life around and he overcame addiction. And he soon was inspired to give back in the same way he received and set his sights on becoming a professional counselor. And here he stood on the eve of graduating from a master's in counseling program, sharing his story that for him, the next season was being able to go back and to be on the front lines of those in the greatest need as someone, in the same way that someone did so and helped him. He's going to embody Jesus to the most hurting and broken people of our society. Now look at, this isn't everyone's calling, but the question is, who are you called to embody Jesus to in this season? What are the small interactions throughout your day that need more attention? Are your interactions with unbelievers causing them to frequently ask you to give a reason for the hope that you have? Our bodies matter because we're the embodiment of Jesus to a lost and broken world. And our bodies matter because they interact with our spirit. In this passage, Paul is having to refute a prominent philosophy in ancient culture, which is called dualism. Dualism says that we're an eternal spirit in a temporary body. Now, in some ways, we're still influenced by dualism. I think perhaps the greatest temptation is our attitude towards our bodies as we get older. And for any of us that are creeping over even 40, you know, the hair is going. I just buzz it myself now, and it saddens me, and I'm like, God, I'm ready to have hair again. In that redemptive body, would you bring it back? Or, you know, or others of you are just like, I don't know, it's the hips, the knees, the things that our bodies break down. And so there's certainly that temptation of dualism that reigns in us. I can't wait for that glorified body that Jesus had, right? But one way this was affecting the Corinthians is that some men were actually, who were part of the church community, they were going to prostitutes and they were arguing for the right to do so. It's a very different temptation. Now, most, if not all, of your Bibles should have several statements and quotations in verses 12 and 13. These quotations are what Paul imagines a Corinthian might say to excuse their behavior. And I've created, well, actually, I stole from a great commentator, a chart here to help you see in your Bible. This has confused commentators for so long, and I want you to see really clearly what Paul is doing. You can see this argument the Corinthians has as one long statement. Imagine them saying to defend themselves from this act of being with a prostitute, I have the right to do anything. I have the right to do anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. This is what Paul envisions someone who's living in the way of dualism in the Corinthian church, what they would argue. And he's not having it at all. His response is, not everything is beneficial. You have the right to do everything. You won't be mastered by anything. That is the way of the kingdom. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. You see, dualism influences beliefs and attitude which cause behavior that's unfit for the kingdom of God. An attitude such as, my body doesn't matter, could be expressed by saying food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. But it was leading to a behavior in the Corinthians that said, the body is for sex, and sex is for the body. And in the end, who cares? They'll both be destroyed, so it doesn't matter what I do with them now. Prostitution was both normal and accepted in Corinth. And while only one state in the U.S. in our modern day has legalized prostitution, there's no question that our culture is highly sexualized. We spent 8 weeks talking about this. Paul is having to help the Corinthians see that the way of Jesus is not dualism. It's what's called an interacting duality. We are both body and spirit, and both have an effect on one another. Now, Paul seems to imply this with what he's saying. In verses 16 and 17, he says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. He's implying that when you do something with your body, it's impacting the spirit. He's pointing to God's created order, citing directly from Genesis that just as when a husband and wife fuse their lives together and become one flesh, what we have done by saying yes to Jesus and confessing him as Lord is we have become one. We have united ourselves to the Lord in spirit as one. And it is so easy for us to take that for granted, that the living God that you walked in today, you didn't come into a place hoping to come into the presence of God. You brought the presence of God with you. Your very body, the physical body that you have, that you were created with, is united with the Spirit of God right now. And we walk out of here and we just forget that sometimes. We just go back into our lives and we can't do that. That's why moments of worship like this morning are so moving, because we feel that closeness. But to live in an embodied way outside there is to bring these two together. That's what we are called to do, to embody Jesus to the world. And so the risk is, if we are just doing whatever with our body, if we don't care about how we treat our bodies, it's impacting the Spirit that is at work within us. God's plan of rescue started with Jesus, but it continues on with him taking residence inside us. Remember, we embody Jesus to the lost, to the broken. And what we do with our bodies inhibits the power and the effectiveness of the Spirit within. Jesus makes this clear when he comes and he's in the garden, he is suffering and he is praying with his disciples. He's asking them, pray with me. And then he comes, he finds them asleep, and he says this, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our spirit impacts our body, and what we do with our bodies impacts the Spirit within us. And so look, we can't avoid this morning, because for 8 weeks we talked about sexuality. We can't avoid the issue of sexual immorality while looking at this text. It's still one of the most pressing issues today, and Paul's guidance is honestly pretty straightforward. Flee. Get out of there. One of the ways, as my good friend Stephen Collins says, one of the ways that we fight is to flee. So what does it look like to flee today? You know, one of the most, to me, disheartening areas that I see this over-sexualized world show up is in music. And as a musician, I love music. I love lyrics. I love the artistry. Every Friday, in case you don't know, is New Music Day. It used to be like record release day. As a teenager, they actually, some of you will remember, there was a physical CD. If you go even way back, there was a physical record. Yes, I had records too, vinyls, okay. There was a physicality to it, right? That plays into what we're talking about here. But I remember these times, my mom will too. We got up early and we like drove to Target to like buy the CD. You couldn't listen to the music, you know, until you had it in your hands. And so now, new music still comes out every Friday. It comes out every Friday at midnight on various streaming platforms. But often one of the things that just breaks my heart is as I go and get excited to see what's the new music that's out there, what are things that people are listening to, what's popular, I am just shocked at what is shown on the cover of an album. I mean, I sort of can't believe that we've reached this place where there's just a literal pornography on the cover of albums. I'm like, what does this have to do with? How do you flee from that? The lyrics and the over-sexualized music, turn it off. Shut the computer. Put down the phone. Get outside. Call a friend. If you're married, call your spouse. This over-sexualization, it finds its way into lyrics, and it's another part of it being disheartening is like, I have daughters now that are in love with Taylor Swift, and I'm like, what do I do? And so, you know what? I'll give you a real practical. We talk about it. They hear a song or I hear a song and I know what the lyrics are gonna say. And they're like, hey, can we listen to this one? I'm like, you know, this is what she's saying in the song. And this is how I see that it's just not in line with the way of Jesus. And so, you know, we're not gonna listen to that song. And so guess what? Did you know, like, and I think you can do this in Spotify too, in Apple Music, you can delete the song from that record. Or the other things we talk about is, does it have an E? That means explicit. They love, hey, Papa, does this Taylor Swift record have any E's on it? And so they find the E's and then we delete them. And, you know, we talk about that together. And so you can delete things. To flee might mean like cutting it off. You know, it's like Jesus had this urgency, right? He taught with even a greater urgency than Paul around this same idea. He says in Matthew, and if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell. Now look, I don't think Jesus ever meant get the knife out, but it can be delete the song. Don't download that album. Get out of there. Turn your computer off. Uninstall that program. What do you need to do? This is urgent because your body, your risen body, is at stake. That's what Jesus is saying. We have to be way more ruthless with our fleeing. Just as what we do in our spirit affects our body, we confess Jesus is Lord. We believe that God raised him from the dead and the spirit comes alive within us. This creates all new physical habits in our body. It should. The ability to run, the ability to say no. And it gives us a future hope of a physical body in eternity, a glorified body. Paul says this in the passage. He says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead and he will raise us also, the actual body that you have. And likewise, what we do with our bodies, it affects our spirit and can defile the spirit of God within us, which is meant to empower us to help embody Jesus to a world that desperately needs us, that desperately needs the love of the Savior. And so our bodies matter because we embody Jesus to a lost and broken world, right? Our bodies matter because our spirit and body are two things that affect one another. And finally, our bodies matter because they are part of the gospel. A major part of the gospel story is that God became embodied. John famously writes in his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. By the power of God's Spirit within us, we are the flesh that dwells among those who need Jesus. We're part of the gospel. We're part of the gospel solution. God has invited us to be the flesh that dwells among people who might hear of the kingdom of God, ask us a question, and be saved into eternity, their lives forever changed. God will do that through you. It's not just him at work. He's invited us into that. Now, one of the greatest dangers to this today is the societal move towards disembodied living. If being embodied is to be physically present, to be disembodied is to be somewhere but not physically there. So what does this look like? I want you to consider the increase in how much of our lives are lived digitally today. While we still battle with letting go of control and lordship over our own lives, we give way too much control to this. And I do too, so trust me, this is hitting me just as deeply. This requires urgent action. Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt writes in his new book, The Anxious Generation, quote, to stare into a piece of glass in our hands is to be removed from our bodies, to float placelessly in a content cosmos, to skim our attention from one piece of ephemera to the next. Now don't worry, I too had to look up what ephemera meant. It's something that is enjoyed, but only for a short time. So the picture you should get is of the continuous scroll. Now, look, and I'm not here to lead the anti-digital revolution, but we can't escape the embodied nature of the gospel. This semester in class, we learned about leading healthy teams. And part of leading a healthy team is effective communication. Did you know only 10% of meaning is conveyed by words? 10%. 35% of meaning is conveyed by tone and inflection. And a whopping 55% is conveyed by body language. So if I keep flapping around, you should get the message more, right? There's something that happens. I mean, I get we have Zoom, and that's great, so maybe I can see some of what's going on, but there is something that we cannot get digitally that we can only get when we're sitting across from a coffee cup with someone and sharing life. When we're in a community group and people are hearing my pain and hearing my struggle and seeing it in my body, seeing me lean over, seeing the expression on my face, when they are placing their physical hands on me and they're praying with me, we can't get away from that. And so we do need to fight that digital urge. And Jonathan Haidt's whole book is talking about how it's wreaking havoc on our children. We already know this. Our physical presence matters. I mean, you experienced it in COVID. We went through this great experiment of what it's like to live fully disembodied, not by choice. And we have yet, I think, to even fully grasp the repercussions of what's taken place in that time period. Another aspect of the gospel is Jesus laying down his physical life, his body, for our sake. The price to accomplish this was costly. The Son of God gave up his physical body to torturing and suffering in order that we might live. Our salvation, our very physical bodies, intertwined with the Holy Spirit, have been bought at a price. We confess that Jesus is Lord because of this, and we don't just receive eternal life, we come under the authority and lordship of Jesus. As my fellow graduate expressed so simply, we worship a king, King Jesus. When this drug addict found King Jesus, he recognized what I'm doing with my body, the things I'm putting in, I can't do that anymore. I have a new authority. God is my authority. I need to come under his lordship. He is king, and so I need to think about what am I doing with my body? When we continue to do things with our bodies that are unfit for the kingdom of God, we bring that lordship into question, and we do it every day. Now look, I'm not suggesting to you that every physical action we take, we need to pray and discern if it's the will of the Lord. But we have to make an effort to acknowledge the Spirit within us. Paul, when he's writing to the Galatians, he says it this way. He says, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit. What happens in your spirit will impact your body, right? We just talked about that. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Now, how do we do this? We do this by being a part of a community, being present, being physically here on a Sunday. Stephen talked about, we do it by joining a community group, a smaller gathering of believers, so we can really be seen and known, and so we can see and know others. I want to move into just how do we respond to this? And I want to invite the band just to come back up and get situated. I want to remind us that as we turn to a time of response, Our physical bodies matter because we are the physical presence of Jesus in the world today. God's Spirit is within us, and what we do with our bodies can either enhance or hinder the work of the Spirit. And our bodies matter because they are part of the gospel story. They reflect what took place in Jesus, and the gospel work is still ongoing in us today. In fact, I want to invite you to participate in a little exercise with me. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to begin to envision the people that embodied the gospel to you. What are the faces that start to come to your mind? What are the names? Who was it that sat with you and shared the hope of Jesus? Who explained the gospel and it finally clicked? Who demonstrated through their life their willingness to be obedient to the lordship of Jesus through the Spirit within them, to model a life that you could physically see and witness, and helps you to see that's what it looks like to follow Jesus. Who are those people? What are their names? Now I want you to consider that some doing this exercise might be picturing you. There's no doubt that some of you in this room are picturing someone else in this room. God is partnering with humanity to reach people and help bring them into the kingdom of God. And he is using us to do this. Maybe this morning something needs to change so that you can be that person that someone else envisions one day as the one who helped them see what it looked like to follow Jesus, the one who took hold of the Spirit within them and embodied the gospel of our risen Lord. Maybe somebody in the future will envision you because of the repentance and the response that you make today, right now, here in this place, coming back to him. This morning, would our response be embodied? What does it look like to embody a response to Jesus in a gathering? Maybe you see people raise their hands in worship. Maybe you see them physically get excited because there is something that is happening in their spirit that warrants a physical response. That's a beautiful thing. Maybe this morning you just need to come and kneel before God as a way in your body to feel that physical response. When you get up out of your seat and you move, you are bringing fusion to the body and the spirit. They're coming together, they're aligning with what you want to happen. In your spirit, you're saying yes in your body. And so maybe it looks like you coming to kneel. Maybe it looks like you having the courage to say, I need someone to pray with me for this. I'm really excited. Tim and Vanessa this week sent an original song and asked, hey, could we share a song that we just feel like God has been stirring within us as a response this week? And I listened and read through the lyrics and I was like, yes, this is speaks so well to this message. I want to share with you one verse that I feel like encapsulates this idea. The song is called Coming Back. This morning, you could come back physically to Jesus. One verse says this, at the humble cross is a simple truth. Every seed that dies comes alive in you. At the empty grave is the living proof. There's no fear in death, only life in you. This morning, come back to the feet of Jesus, putting to death the things in life that are not of his kingdom, that you might be brought fully back to life.